It's good to see you in this new place of worship. And with God as my witness, at Cary we celebrate the growth that your church has known. We are so happy that our walls are not large enough to contain you. And I have to give you my apologies. I will not be able to attend your anniversary service because I will be with the Baptist pastors in Banff. This morning I'd like to share with you about a very important aspect of discipleship. And if we can go back in the text to verse 18 at the beginning, yes. And so we come to this passage where Jesus calls his first disciples. And I hope that as you read this text this morning, that you are thinking about how Jesus first called you. What were you doing when Jesus called you? I don't think many of you were fishermen. But you were busy doing something, your life was organized in a certain way, and Jesus interrupted it. And he said to you, come and follow me. I don't know that there are any words that are more profound for discipleship in the New Testament than those words. Come and follow me. In an instant, their lives changed. They had simple lives. They had ordinary lives. They had a career. They had family. And Jesus said, come and follow me. This morning I want to reflect a little bit on the importance of those words. And of course, as we think about the importance of that response to Jesus, we remember those who are evangelists in our lives. When I was 15 years old, I did not grow up in a Christian home. And it was my neighbor across the street who shared her faith with me. She was 18 years old. And she took the time to share about Jesus with a 15-year-old boy next door. And I have to tell you, she was an attractive young woman. And perhaps that is what gained my attention to begin with. And so I listened to the gospel. But at that time, the words did not connect with my heart. And so while I understood the message, I did not hear Jesus call me. A few years later, there was another call to this, another person who witnessed to me, who took the risk to share their faith with me.
那有一个人呢,
presence of God invade my life, I felt like I was these men on the shore of Galilee calling me to follow Jesus. And so I came forward and I prayed to receive Christ as my Savior. It was a decision that changed my entire life. That call led me to be a pastor, a church planter in Europe, and a missionary in Africa. The story that we read of these disciples is not a biography. It's not a play-by-play record of the events in their lives. In fact, Matthew is choosing certain aspects of the disciples' lives to teach us something. And we know this because in these few verses, we don't have the full story. And so, it more than just a story of the disciples' lives, this is a story of our life with God. Not only are all these events true, but they are true for us. And so the interesting word in this text is the suddenness of the call. In verse 20, if you can go forward. In English, the first words in that verse are "at once." And then later on in verse 22, it says that immediately they left the boat and followed him. So what Matthew is emphasizing in this call is that they obey Jesus right away. Reading from the other Gospels, we know that it maybe is not quite as sudden as that. For example, Simon and Andrew already knew Jesus. Because Andrew had been a disciple of John. And yet, isn't that the case? I already knew something about Jesus. God was already working in my life. And yet when that call came to me, it was sudden, it was abrupt. I had to obey God right now. It reminds us of the call of Elisha. In 1 Kings 19, Nancy, if you could read from 1 Kings 19:19-21.
跟随你，以利亚对他说，你回去吧，我向你做什么呢？以利沙就离开他回去，宰了一对牛，用烫牛的器具煮肉给民吃，随后就起身跟随以利亚服侍他。
So just like Simon and Andrew, Elisha acted right away. Reminding us of the decisiveness of God's call. And if you will allow me to skip to the end of my sermon just for a minute,I want you to be already thinking about ways in your life that God is asking you to act right now. In what area of your life is Jesus saying, come and follow me? In what area of your life is God asking you to make a new commitment to follow Jesus?
在你生命中哪一部分，耶稣是想让你与他立约，坚定心志跟随他。
But perhaps all of us feel not that we're not able to follow the Lord.
或许我们都觉得我们没有办法去跟随耶稣。
There are always reasons that we can give why we should wait.
我们都有借口或者理由来说我们没办法去跟随他。
Or why we are not worthy to be followers of Jesus. And so we come back to this morning's text. Why would Jesus call fishermen? I think, first of all, we can recognize that fishermen need perseverance.They need patience. And they also need some kind of sense of good timing. And they need courage. Something which perhaps the religious leaders lacked.These were qualities that when Jesus was choosing his disciples, he found in these fishermen. These are qualities that Jesus is looking for even today. But if we look at the Gospels, we also have to say that Jesus' disciples were not ideal candidates by any stretch of the imagination. They were often self-centered. They were not hospitable.Do you remember when the crowds were following Jesus got hungry? In Matthew 14, the disciples only thought of sending them away to buy food. And in Matthew 19, do you remember the story about the children? They wanted to send the children away because they were bothering Jesus. Because there were more important people for Jesus to see.And finally, do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? They couldn't even stay awake. And they all abandoned him in the end. Doesn't that remind all of us of ourselves? We have qualities that God can use. But we also have failings. We have our weaknesses. And as I think about the flaws of these disciples, I can say that I doubt that any of us would do any better. And I think this is exactly Matthew's point. God does not need servants who think they are doing him a favor. God does not call those who think they can help God do God's work. This is not a job interview where God is looking for the best and the brightest with a great track record. Jesus wants followers. People who align themselves with his priorities. And then allow themselves to enter into his kingdom. And I have a confession to make. It's not in my notes. I won't ask for a show of hands here. But for anybody who's older than, say, 30 years old, I have noticed in my own life, and this is my confession, that the older I get, the harder it is for me to say yes to Jesus right away. I have, as the older I get, I have more and more excuses. But for older and for younger, the challenge of discipleship is there. Jesus is calling us today, come and follow me. And like these early disciples, he expects us to do it right away. One of my passions is to support God's people who are doing ministry in difficult places. Supporting leaders who, like Simon and Andrew, said yes to Jesus' call. This is a conviction that led me from missionary service overseas back to Canada. And it's why I'm passionate about training leaders. And it's why I'm excited about the ways that Carrie is training leaders. We have leadership training programs in China, in Kenya, in the South Sudan, the Eastern Congo, Rwanda, Bolivia, and India. In North America, we're offering first-class training programs that don't leave our graduates with a mountain of debt. Carrie's tuition is among the lowest in Canada. And we work hard to keep the tuition costs low. And I'm working on other plans as well. We're planning on expanding the activities in our Hong Kong campus. And offering Chinese language training courses here in Vancouver in September. And I'm very excited about offering Chinese training courses online. And I'm also working on building a new building at Cary. Do you remember the gravel parking lot? I'm trusting God and working so that we can have a new student residence there. Which will include a large worship center downstairs. Coming back to our passage in Matthew, we remember that transition that Jesus asked them to make. He said to them, "You know how to fish for fish. Now I want you to fish for people." Now, in Sunday school, we sing that song, the songs about this. Oh, Jesus making us into fishermen. But I think there is a difference between fishing for fish and fishing for people. So, because what happens to the fish? The fishermen were fishing to catch fish. And they were going to eat them or sell them. As far as the fish were concerned, the whole thing was going to end in death. So he takes them from fishing, which leads to death, to fishing, which leads to life. As they proclaimed the good news, they brought people out of death into life. Giving life to those who are already dead. The second part of the text in verse 23. If we can, oh, it's right there. Good. It speaks of the message that Jesus proclaimed. And I want to spend a few moments talking about the good news of the kingdom. And I want to take issue with a particular expression that I hear sometimes in our churches. Some Christian ministries and some churches talk about expanding the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God means the rule of God.
Uh,
and we do not expand it like some military operation in a foreign land. In fact, if we look through the New Testament, we don't see this expression expanding God's kingdom anywhere. Jesus has other words that he uses. When speaking of our relationship with God's kingdom, I've already mentioned one of them with the story of the children. Jesus tells us to be like children so we enter the kingdom. We don't expand God's kingdom, we enter it. Jesus reminds us that God's kingdom is near to us. And he says that God's kingdom is within us. All this teaches us that God's kingdom is not our responsibility. We don't have to pay the bills of God's kingdom. We don't have to expand God's kingdom. We don't need to organize mission trips to expand God's kingdom. The kingdom of God belongs to God already. It is here around us. We don't need to make it. The work of God is already being done by God. And so, like my conversion as a young man, God was already working in my heart. And so we know that each person that we share the gospel with, God has already been doing a work through the witness of other people, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even if people don't have a Bible or any Christian friends, God can speak to them through dreams and visions to bring them to himself. The kingdom of God means the reign of God in our lives, in our churches and communities. And so in this text, the disciples and the crowds were being challenged to enter into the kingdom of God. They brought their sicknesses, and Jesus healed them. They brought their sin, and Jesus forgave them. They brought their loneliness, and Jesus gave them community. They brought their confusion, and Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. This is the first mention of the crowds in Matthew. And a crowd, of course, is many people. But in the Gospel of Matthew, it's almost like the crowds is a character, like all the other characters in the story. And the crowds are ever changing in their response. responses to Jesus. These are the people who are attracted to Jesus because of his miracles. And in terms of their acceptance of Jesus, they were somewhere between his disciples and the religious leaders who opposed Jesus. So we find that many times the crowds were positive to Jesus. But in the end, they cheer at Jesus' death. In Africa, I have seen many people come to the church for food during famine. And so we see Jesus meeting people's physical needs. Many people in the media object to those who follow Jesus. Like some people did in these crowds. But you know, there are few people who object to Jesus with full knowledge of who he is. Most people who reject Jesus reject the idea of Jesus. And perhaps the traditional folklore that's attached to his name. The crowd was full of people who had to make a choice. Like those early disciples, they were challenged to follow Jesus. And it is no accident that this story immediately precedes the Sermon on the Mount. That incredible series of challenges which seeks to direct our commitment towards God. Which asks us to take that next step of discipleship. Which asks us to come and follow Jesus. So in, Nancy, could you read the Beatitudes, which is Matthew 5,
sure.
Verse 1:10. This passage looks even further ahead to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Where we see that Jesus is again asking us for commitment. In Matthew chapter 7:13. Nancy, if you could read 13 and 14.
你们要进窄门，因为你要灭亡。那门是宽的，路是大的，进去的人也多。你到永生，那门是窄的，路是小的。
And then a little bit later in verse 24. And so we come to the challenge. And we remember the response of those first disciples. That sacrificial immediate commitment to Jesus. When he said, "Leave your nets, come and follow me." They said yes. Like me, you have probably heard the call of Jesus many times. And I believe that by the work of God's Holy Spirit, God has prepared each one of us this morning. With a specific challenge. Perhaps this morning you need to come to Jesus for the first time. And to say, I heard about you, Jesus, but now I feel you calling me. Perhaps you have been following Jesus for a time. And he is asking you to forgive somebody for something that's been very painful to you. Perhaps even amidst your financial struggles, God is calling you to give generously to his work. Perhaps God is calling you to take up new responsibilities to serve him in the church. Jesus is calling us today. The kingdom of God is at hand. Will you enter in? Thank you. Strength to obey you this week. Fill our minds with a vision of your kingdom that we might enter into it. Give us the courage to obey you when you say to follow you once again. And to you, Jesus Christ, be all the glory. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.